This is the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light which enlightens everyone. Was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to Him and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because He was before me.' From His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and truth. Now, the gospel according to Mark begins its story when Jesus is already an adult. It begins with his baptism, with the baptism of Christ. The story of Jesus in the gospels of Matthew and Luke began with circumstances immediately preceding his birth, the birth narratives, what's about to happen, the angels coming and visiting Joseph and Mary and the parents of John. But the gospel according to John begins the story of Jesus not when he's an adult, not when he's about to be born, but goes back much further, goes back far, far, far. Begins the story of Jesus all the way back at the beginning of time and at the start of creation. John begins at the beginning of eternity. In the beginning was the Word, at the beginning of everything. The Gospel of John begins so early because its message to us is so profound. Beginning, the Word that created all things, in which everything came into being, the Word that is God, that was with God, through which all things were made. That Word, in the prologue of John, we are shown the truth. That Word became flesh and lived among us. Profound truth of the incarnation is a truth that warrants going back all the way because it resets our understanding of everything about God, about who God is, about how God works, about how big God is, and also how intimate. When John declares that the Word became flesh and lived among us, John declares that God has come into this physical world and set up his tent. God moved in with us. God settled in to the physical world to stay with us. God became flesh and lived among us. Why? Why did God have to become flesh? What is this move that God makes? Why did God have to live a human life, experience sorrow and pain, rejection, ultimately death on a cross? Was it just to tell us something? To give us a message, to send a message to the people? Maybe to tell us that we don't need to worry about sin and death anymore because now we're going to have eternal life? Or to tell us that God forgives us our sins? Was it to send a message? I mean, these messages are good, and Jesus does give us these messages, but this is not the purpose of the incarnation. It's not the sole purpose of Jesus, just to send a message. Because if it was just to send a message, if it was just to communicate, if it was just to tell us something, even telling us that something in person, God could have written that message in the clouds. God could have spelled that message out in the stars. Jesus could have shown up and communicated that message. An angel could have come and dictated that message. The burning bush dictated messages. God spoke with Moses on the mountaintop. God could have done a similar thing again if it was just a message that was trying to get across. But the faith that we join when we worship Jesus, this faith that we call Christianity, our faith and our religion, is more than something that just describes, it communicates, and outlines who God is and what God desires for our ways of life. It's more than just a description. It's more than just a communication. It's more than just an outline. The faith of Jesus, this faith that we join, this Christianity, is the lived-in truth of the sublime gift of grace that is the embodiment of God. The embodiment of God. Our whole faith is all about incarnation. If it was just about a message, we could have stayed with the law, describing and outlining the ways of faith, the ways of life, and dedicating ourselves to that description, to that outline. We could have continued on in a faith like the faith that was given through Moses, the law. But John writes that the law indeed was given through Moses. But something different now has come through Jesus. Something different, and yet something that goes all the way back to the beginning. Grace and truth. For the law describes and outlines a relationship with God. Grace and truth describe the relationship itself, the living into it. Grace and truth are coming and overriding just observance and obedience to a written word, to an outline, to a description. Grace and truth go beyond outlines and descriptions. In this gospel, and throughout all the gospels, we see Jesus. Now, Jesus respects the laws of Moses, that which has come before. In every story about Jesus, Jesus is always very respectful of the laws. He knows the laws deeply by heart. He knows the descriptions and the outlines of religion and faith, which are the descriptions and the outlines of that relationship with God. But Jesus moves the practice of religion beyond just knowing the descriptions, beyond just knowing in your head the outlines of the relationship, moves the practice of faith simply from following those, from elevating those human described laws to the place of God. For that's what Jesus shows us that they are. That they are ways that humans have tried to codify what's going on in their hearts when they are in relationship with God. People in the past who have been in relationship with God have tried to put that into words so that others might learn and know what relationship with God is like. But instead of recapturing that relationship, people have turned those descriptions into the relationship itself and just been following those, been following the laws, the outlines. Jesus wants to move the practice of faith away from those, past those, through those, and recapture the soul and the spirit of faith. Moving the practice of religion back to that lived in relationship that is God with us, that lived in relationship that is a restart of what was at the beginning when God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. When God is at home, when God comes home with us, where God is in our neighborhood, where God is on the move in our world, where God is in you and in me and in between us, where God is incarnate and embodied. Jesus changes the practice of religion and the authenticity of our faith from that of obeying laws to that of living out and living into the divine realities of love, generosity, hope, serving, and grace. Now, these things were described in the Old Testament. They're described in Scripture as principles. They're written into laws, but the foundation of faith had been lost. And it's that foundation that Jesus restores. Now the cornerstone that the builders had rejected has now become the chief cornerstone, our chief cornerstone. And that cornerstone is grace and truth and light and life. God shows forth as we live life. The Gospel of John declares that our faith, our religion, is not some objective beliefs about God. It's not about what we know or think in our head. But that our religion, our faith, is our practice of experiencing God personally and being the very temples of God and the evidence of God ourselves. For from God's fullness we have all received grace upon grace. So the Scriptures say, we have all received God's presence. God's blessing and kindness and mercy and gift have piled upon us to overflow in grace to others. The promise of the incarnation is not just that Jesus came and God was embodied in him, but that as Jesus goes from this world, as Jesus leaves his disciples, he says, I am leaving, but I'm coming back to you, and I am sending the Holy Spirit to you that will be embodied in you now. And this promise is passed on, and the incarnate reality of God explodes out into the world. And as John describes it in his gospel, John writes this gospel to show that whenever we love, that it's God's love that shows forth in us. Whenever we live into that divine mercy, whenever we show mercy to others, it's God's presence that is being represented in us. And God that is being merciful through us. And that whenever we give of ourselves and our possessions, it is God who is being generous through us. That God is incarnate through us as we live into these values, these realities of who God is and who God is shown to be in Christ. Grace and truth. Truth. As people of truth, we don't get to make up whatever we want to believe about God or about anything else. As people of truth, truth is more than just what we feel is true. Truth is what can be proved. Truth is something we can lean into. Truth is something we can know and ought to know. Our culture is a self-serving culture, more and more self-serving every day. Truth has come into question. Truth has become something that people think they can work around. Defining truth as just whatever we say it is. Defining truth as just whatever is repeated often enough. Defining truth as something that is up for debate. This is why we see so many questions about truth. There's a movie that just came out that I was able to watch over the week. Just came out on Netflix, Don't Look Up. And I'm not giving too much away if you haven't seen it, that it's about a comet that's about to hit the Earth and destroy life as we know it. And there are those who think they can benefit from the comet coming, and so they begin a campaign of don't look up, thinking that they can deny the truth of what is apparent and real if they just repeat it often enough. And as a caricature of our culture, it shows forth the ways that we have lost sight of truth ourselves, where entire segments of our population deny things that are very simple and true, like that we're living in a pandemic, like that climate change is real, like that, you know, these things that are proven by science and tested and peer-reviewed, these are things that aren't just about what you feel, but it is what is true. And that as people of faith, we have nothing to fear from that truth. And indeed, faith is shown forth in that movie as well, in a couple different ways, but in one way, very authentically, is living into that truth and opening yourself up to truth and doing what you can in light of that truth. But our culture is self-serving. We find workarounds to truth. The predominant value of our culture is not based in the truths that are shown forth in Christ, but in a false truth. A truth that is that our ultimate value is just getting and accumulating as much as we can, whether it's possessions or power, it's hoarding. That this life is all there is, and so whoever can get the most in this life, that's what matters. And those who are able to acquire so much, the wealthy and the powerful, those people are admired above those who have less. And that dominating others through working around truth, through bending truth to your will, is really what's respected. This is why in court cases, it's not necessarily the one who is in the right who wins, but the one who has the most expensive lawyers, who can find the most workarounds. These are ways that we have fallen from truth. But Christ embodies truth in us. And Christ embodies grace as well. And in us, God is grace incarnate. In this gospel, according to John, we are given a different set of values, a different way of living. In this gospel, according to John, we are told about a God who so loved the world that God would give their only Son. In this gospel, according to John, we are introduced to a God who gives, who is gracious. In this gospel, we are presented with God whose primary nature is that of generosity, of giving, of sharing. It is an alternative to the values of our world, the values of taking and getting and accumulating. In this gospel, according to John, we are introduced to a God who is a God of grace. Now, grace is a foreign concept to our world. It's often seen as weakness, generosity as irrational. Grace only depletes in the eyes of the world. Giving is a senseless act that can only be counted as loss. But grace, giving, is shown in Jesus as the way to life. The generosity of spirit and generosity of possessions and generosity with yourself is the way into relationship with God and into the knowledge and truth of love. God is not a contained physical power that can be hoarded, but a power that knows no bounds, that goes forth, uttered and moving, creating and recreating life wherever it goes. It's a power that is strengthened by being shared, a power that we know more deeply when we share, the power of the God who is the Word, who creates life, who in the act of giving forth, of uttering forth a word, calls life into existence. This word is Jesus. This word in the beginning was creating and giving and calling life into being. And this same Jesus that was in the beginning as the Word who was calling and creating life, giving forth of Himself to create life from the Word, this is the same Jesus that calls us into being. And that in His own incarnation shows us what it means to be embodiments of God, to live into new life, lives of giving, lives of kindness, lives of blessing, lives of grace. Grace and truth mark us as Christian people, as embodiments of God. In Jesus Christ, we know and experience this one God, who is above all gods, all powers, all principalities, all governments, all tribes, all propaganda. God is the God who loves us, who cares about what happens to us, who commits to us, who gives to us. And so because of this God who loves and cares and commits and gives, we are able and have reason to love and to care and to commit and to give. This is what distinguishes Christians. This is what distinguishes those who truly follow Jesus. People who are embodiments of grace and truth, who give, who are generous, who live for the sake of others. Amen.